This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 146. Today we're talking about how to overcome stress and anger in your marriage.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go.
G'day, mate and all of you in Australia.
Oh, wow. So anyway, I'm have someone else on that's sharing the
spotlight
with us.
Yeah, it's me from Australia.
Oh.
There's more New Zealand. I wish I could do an accent, like a legit accent.
You can do an accent.
And then I wish I could hear an Australian do a Canadian accent. And not an American accent, a Canadian accent.
Yeah. I think
I don't realize I have an accent, but people say I do. And I don't want to sound like the Canadians that I hear. You know, like they make accents for Canadians and it's always like, oh, Canada, eh? It's like, that's not what I sound like. Mm-hmm. That's Minnesota.
Do you know what people in Australia call an Australian accent? They call that speaking English.
No, I know. I know. I know. But I want them to speak Canadian English.
Right.
And not Kate Canadian English, because that's like French Canadian English.
Right. So other than trying to figure out, you know, the best accent,
you know,
for
what
this season,
I have a degree in linguistics and it still hasn't left my brain.
I
love it. I love language.
Yeah. What's been on your mind and heart lately?
What's been on my mind? Honestly, I haven't sat long enough this weekend to really like analyze my feelings. I guess our connection has been on my mind and our heart. I think I'm assuming it's on yours too. I think we've been very distracted by a lot of things in our lives personally. Parenting has kind of had to take a little bit of priority in our lives. And because of that, our connection is very absent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's been kind of on my mind and heart, you know, looking at you and assuming things and kind of falling back into old patterns where I'm like, oh, he probably doesn't want to hang out with me. And instead of asking you, like, would you like to hang out with me? I'm like, I'm assuming he's going to say no. So, and it's funny because we actually talked about it today and you said the exact same thing. You were like, I assume you don't want to hang out with me. And I'm like, what? We're both in the same assumption boat. How silly of us.
Yeah. And I think for me, because I'm, you know, the maximizer, typically the outspoken one, I'm the one that's typically saying like, hey, I'm feeling kind of disconnected. Mm-hmm. You know, I long to connect with you. I'm feeling lonely, etc. Typically because you're not the one to initiate those feelings, conversations. Mm-hmm. I sometimes go into like the shadow part of that dark place in me, which is like, oh, I guess Kate's fine with this.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
Yeah. I'm definitely not fine with it. I just don't like talking about it because I feel like the more our relationship kind of takes a back burner, the more I see it as a little bit like fragile. I get this like weird idea and I know it's just coming from past baggage and things like that, that like, I'm like, oh no, our relationship is doomed and it's so fragile. And so I start getting in this like panic mode of like, don't talk about the elephant in the room because what if it squashes one of you?
Mm-hmm,
like,
yeah.
Like if I just ignore it, it won't move. But I know that that's very unhealthy as well. So yeah, it's just been on my mind kind of like, okay, how can we create connection? How can we get over this like awkward, you know, blahness between us? This like rut we're in, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's definitely been taking up space in my mind and heart.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
What's been on your mind and heart, Mr. McDougall?
So I think I've been really kind of hard on myself when it comes to my health.
Yes,
I've been thinking about that a lot. Yeah. I think I gained some weight and not really feeling comfortable in my body. I also have been thinking about, so I teach a lot of this to the guys in the group, but this idea of, you know, kind of the fourth level of desire. And I think a lot about how the way that I view and think about myself, kind of like my inner critic, mm-hmm. Impacts my ability to feel desirable.
Absolutely.
Right.
I totally get that.
Yeah. And I'm actually like experiencing that now where I'm like, not really happy with my body, you know, not really talking all that much about it, still exercising, but not really eating well, gaining some weight. And I can see that even sometimes when you bring like flirtatious energy or want to connect, there's like a subconscious part of me that's like, oh, like I'm not attractive. Like, why would she?
Yeah, and it's
with
so
me?
Funny because lately I've been like very proud of my body, like going to the gym, like really constant in that routine. I found a workout that like is killer and I'm loving it, like absolutely loving it. And I feel like I'm like one of those cats walking around with like my tail up, like, hey, hey, look at my booty.
100%. Even the kids are touching your butt. Like, even the kids, yeah. Even the kids like it.
She like, every time I walk by, she like smacks my butt. I'm like,
oh, man, that's we got to get her out of that.
She's just, yeah, no, she's into the butt tapping thing. I'm like, I don't know what it is with this button.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. Hello. It's beautiful.
So, yeah, that's kind of what's been weighing on me lately. Really trying to focus on my health and my eating habits and exercising more, not only for like, you know, the way I look, but also for my mental health, you know, and what it does to me.
Yeah. When you move, if you're stressed, whatever, that like it helps let that energy flow out of you in different ways than in letting it bottle up inside. Just let it sweat it out.
And I think this is common, you know, for me, certainly I experienced this time of year on January, you know, it's cold, mm-hmm. all the surfaces outside are like rock hard, full of ice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only person to experience this. You know, a lot of times I'm talking
It's very dark too.
Yeah.
Lately, like we've had a lot of cloudy days. Yeah. We don't have a lot of sun.
So I'm looking forward to just, you know, eating well, having my tea right now, a little bit of ginger, like feeling good.
Yeah. Is it spicy?
It is.
I wanted some, but then I was like, dang, I saw how much ginger you put in there. Like fresh ginger too. Like, spicy.
So today we're talking about specifically what we want to do is help partners who maybe are married to, you know, a husband or a wife who typically is stressed out, quick to anger, quick to irritability, you know, how do we help that partner engage with them in a way that feels good to both partners?
Yeah. And sometimes in a relationship, it can be one partner who's kind of more the stressed out, quicker to lash out, quicker to like react than the other. But sometimes it's 50-50, you know, sometimes there's some days where it's one partner, the next day it's another partner, sometimes it's both partners. So it just really depends on the dynamic of your relationship.
Yeah. So in our relationship, typically I am, like I talked about earlier, like the maximizer. So I'm typically the one that when I'm stressed out, I go out of me, which is I get loud, I get irritable, I get curt, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And for me, I'm kind of more quiet. So when I stress out, I kind of retreat, go inside, get very quiet. And I don't talk much, but then once in a while, very rarely, but once in a while, the stress just becomes too much. And then I like blow up. Mm-hmm. But I mean, neither are the healthiest.
Right.
But what's important is, you know, when you're blowing up, when you're stressed, when you're, you know, angry, what is it that you're doing in that moment? That's where, when we talk about it's not healthy, it's not necessarily that it's not healthy to be stressed or angry or, you know, experiencing a strong emotion. What's not healthy is the way that emotion comes out.
Yeah. And what we like to talk about, you know, when we talk about the mastermind and we help couples, it's the separation between your feeling and the action you take, right? And so the easiest example is, it's totally okay to be stressed out. It's totally okay to be angry. Like, you know, those are emotions that you're feeling. Now, if you're stressed out, and you've been stressed out for 10 years, probably you should go talk to somebody.
Right.
But I'm saying like, it's normal to have a stress response. It's normal to be angry. Yeah. Now, when I'm angry, if I decide to punch out my son's teacher, that is not appropriate.
No. Right?
And so again, as you can see, there's a difference between I'm angry and here's what I do when I'm angry.
Right.
And that's what we want to separate, because a lot of people just have a belief that being angry is bad. Mm-hmm. They're just like, people are angry or bad. They're wrong.
Yeah,
you
guilty.
Shouldn't be angry.
I'm like that, right? Any strong emotion, any emotion that's perceived as negative, I perceive as negative, you know, like by society. Yeah. I try to remove it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly kind of what, in most relationships, you're either doing one of two things. Most people. Unless you're Eric and...
I also do one of these two things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, like, you do.
No, we all do. This is a very human response, right?
Yeah, it's a very human response. You're either doing one of two things. You're either going in, seeing your stressed out, angry partner, and going in and trying to fix. Mm-hmm. Trying to be the clown, make them laugh, trying to brighten up their day, buying flowers.
See what they need.
Yeah, trying to squash that emotion so it's no longer there, making you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because what happens when your partner is living that strong emotion, it comes and it messes up with your ecosystem. You're like, whoa, all my flowers are perfectly growing here. The humidity is perfect in this little ecosystem of mine. You're coming in here like a storm, messing it up. Like all the petals are flying everywhere. Like, chill out. So you're like, I'm going to just try to make you laugh. I'm going to try to, you know, help you solve your problems. Like, I'm going to be like way too involved.
Yeah.
And that.
I'm going to take on all your tasks. Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of sex with you. I'm going to like,
yeah, literally, I'll solve all everything.
I'll take the kids out of the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. I will do absolutely everything so that you feel better. Mm-hmm.
Or in order for me to feel better.
In order for me to feel better. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because really all you're doing is squashing their feelings. And, you know, not to get too deep into this, but what you're essentially doing is telling them your feelings don't matter. And please stop feeling this way. It's making me uncomfortable. So stop being you and be better for me.
In order to benefit me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you could do another thing.
Which is on like the opposite side of the spectrum.
The totally opposite side of the spectrum. We're looking black and white here. Mm-hmm. So
the other thing is like you leave them on an island.
You completely retreat. You're like stressed out, angry, close off your ecosystem with like fortress walls. And you're like, don't touch my flowers. And
this is like when you're telling people to deal with it. You're like, you need to go figure that out. Yeah. You need to go get help. Like essentially what you're saying is, not my problem. Get away from me. Yeah,
kicking them out of the house or kicking yourself out of the house and, you know, just
stonewalling
really
them.
Stonewalling them. Yeah, leaving them completely alone to deal with their stuff. Mm-hmm. And that can probably most likely will lead to a spouse that feels lonely, that feels unloved, that feels uncared for, and that feels like their feelings, again, don't matter.
Yeah.
To you because you're too busy protecting your own ecosystem and couldn't care less about theirs that's in complete disarray right now.
Yeah. And again, right, like big picture, what's happening is they internalize this idea. And this is something we internalize even as kids, right? It's this whole idea that there's something wrong with me, that I should not be acting this way, that somehow I'm bad or shameful for being angry. And typically then what that leads to is just either more anger or more shame, which just keeps perpetuating the problem.
Exactly.
And so what we want to do instead is essentially kind of meet in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't want to ignore and abandon our partner, but we also don't want to show up as like the saver and take on their problems.
Right.
And so the way that we often talk about it, for us, it's kind of the two-prong approach, right? Mm-hmm. So within the moments when maybe your partner being stressed out, irritated, et cetera, does an action that's inappropriate, if they yell at your kids, they're going around insulting everybody, if they're super curt, if they're, you know, just like genuinely doing things that are like really disrupting other people and being hurtful to others, right? Even like being unkind. Like, I think if your partner is constantly being unkind to you, you should be holding up a boundary and saying, hey, that hurts. You know, I'd appreciate if you speak to me a bit differently or kinder.
Yeah. And it's funny because we were talking to a therapist to help us with our son, and she was saying that the way we should speak to him is to say, hey, I can see that you're feeling X, and we don't hit people. So like say like, hey, I can see you're feeling angry, and when we're angry, we don't hit people.
Yeah.
So I mean, when I was listening to that, I was like, huh, you could use the same thing in your marriage. Like,
absolutely.
I can see that you're really angry, and I really don't think it's a good idea for you to be yelling at the kids right now.
Exactly. Please stop yelling at the kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that it's important for you to be able to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we call it loving firmness. Mm-hmm. But essentially be clear, be firm, be kind, and upholding, you know, the alliance of your marriage. Mm-hmm. And saying, hey, like, neither one of us want to be yelling at our kids.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing here is I'm holding the bar up.
Yeah.
Right? So yes, you made a mistake. You're lowering the bar based on what you're experiencing. But in this moment, I'm going to step in and just remind you in a loving, firm way to say, hey, honey, here's the bar. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and then maybe your partner can say, yeah, I'm going to remove myself. Maybe they don't say, hey, maybe you just go take a walk or something, you know, come back when you're, you know, maybe a little more level headed. Mm-hmm. And so that's really important to do. So what we say is in the moments, this is where when you want to think about boundaries, you want to think about not taking on your partner's problems, right? Not taking on all the blame. So in the moment, what you're essentially doing is standing firm in a loving way.
Yeah. And I find myself oftentimes when, you know, when you're experiencing a lot of stress or something, one of my first responses is often like, oh, wow, you look really angry or you look really stressed. Like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, it's a very kind question to ask and it's a very nice thing to ask your partner. However, when your partner is overwhelmed and stressed and dealing with a bunch of stuff, the last thing they want to do is now also figure out what you can do. Mm-hmm. So as kind as that response is, and as like quick and natural it is to like kind of come out for a lot of us, you know, I often hear people like speak to another person who's going through something and it's, you know, oh, I'm so sorry you lost, you know, your mother. What can I do? And I think in moments like that, when you see somebody who's living a big emotion, it's very important to understand that to have them think about, okay, now figure out what I can do to help you is not helpful. So instead, a healthy response might be like, I can see you're really overwhelmed and I am open to taking on making dinner tonight and, you know, taking on the kids' bedtime routine if you want to work a little more, spend a little more time at work tonight to finish that project you're overwhelmed about. And then that might be a more appropriate approach than just automatically saying, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I agree. And I think as you're talking about it, you know your partner. Mm-hmm. And this is really important, right? I think what we want to try to avoid here is taking on that emotional toll and then you kind of losing yourself in the emotion. Because, mm-hmm. I could sit here and we could talk about, Kate, like, you know what to do because you're level-headed right now and I'm not angry. Right? It would be very easy for you to be like, oh, I know what Eric needs. He typically needs this and needs this mm-hmm. and needs this. And if I could do that, that would really help him. You know what I mean? He needs to be witnessed and he needs to be held and he needs to be touched, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And what's really important to understand is that in those moments when the stress is high and you see your partner being stressed or angry, the best skill that you can learn is actually to regulate yourself so you can remember what they need in that moment. A big part of the problem is that if you're not able to regulate yourself, then you end up just reacting to their anger. Mm-hmm. And when you're reacting, it's typically like, oh, I see you're angry. You're like, what do you need? Right. And then now you're adding that energy into their system and it's creating this whole cyclone, right? We call it adding your shit to their shit. And so I would recommend that in those moments, make sure that you have a good boundary for yourself to regulate yourself emotionally so that you can keep the bar high. And so you can remember your partner and say, hey, my partner's stressed. Clearly something's not going well. He probably needs some help. And then very quickly say, what does he need? Right? If he's really being irritated with the kids, maybe he needs the kids to do something very specific. So, honey, just go ahead for a walk. I will take care of the kids' bedtime. Okay? I got this. I'm all over it. I will go ahead and execute this.
Yeah. And if you're sitting there thinking like, well, I don't even know. My partner is angry like all the time. I don't even know how to help them. And I've offered to do things. I've said specific things. And they still kind of blow up in the moment. Well, what we would suggest for you to do is in moments when your partner is not angry or isn't stressed out, or you see it's kind of a more light day for them, that would be a great moment for you to ask that question. Yeah. Say, hey, when you're angry and stressed, I noticed you're really angry and stressed and I wanted to help you. I really did. I just didn't know, exactly how to do it. So, when you're doing this specific thing, and come up with something specific they did, or some specific example of something that keeps coming up, what is a good way for me to show up in that moment? What would be something that would be really helpful to you in that moment? And when they're level headed and when they're at their healthiest, they'll be able to come up with an answer or something that you can do. And sometimes it's like for you, Eric, but for example, it's, my instinct would be, okay, I'm going to take on dinner. I'm going to clean the house. I'm going to take care of the kids. I'm going to do all that. What Eric needs in that moment is to be reminded that he's loved, to be touched and hugged, even though in the moment I might touch and hug him and he's going to be, get away from me. I don't want this. It's like,
right.
Sit in it, Eric. I know this is what you need right now. Mm-hmm. I remember you told me this is what you need. Just sit here and try hugging him. And maybe he won't accept it in the moment, but at least I try and it's something that might work or might not work.
Yeah.
And, and also something that really is important for you is to remind you, hey, I know right now you're really overwhelmed with work. I know right now you really want to go downstairs and get lost in this project, but why don't we spend a little bit of time together, like quietly on the couch, cuddling, like let's just be together, like really together, or let's play a game as a family, or let's go for a walk as a family, like let's move our bodies. Like these are all things that really work for you. And my first instinct would not be to go for that. But the reason I know these things is because when you're level-headed, when you're healthy, we had this conversation and you talked to me and you said, this is what I need. And I remember when you said that, being so shocked of like, really? Like, you don't want me to make dinner? You don't want me to do this and that? Like, of course, that's helpful. Like, if you're stressed out and you're like, rah, like, you're most likely going to isolate and go do something else and probably not make dinner.
Right.
But it's not what you need. Yeah. And so even though I'm going to make dinner, that's not going to help you get rid of that stress. And it's not going to help you cope with that stress better. It's just going to give you time to think more about it and sit more in it.
Yeah. And I think when we're having those conversations, right, because you're having them outside of the, for lack of a better term, like fire zone, mm-hmm. your partner is able to kind of slow things down and reflect from the human brain instead of the reptilian brain. Mm-hmm. And so you can have these conversations and really say, hey, in those moments, like, you know, you can start to dissect it, you know, what leads up to that. And I love that you talked about specificity because that's really important, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, when you're stressed, it's, hey, I noticed yesterday, you know, you around bedtime, you got kind of angry and started raising your voice to the kids. I could see you were stressed out. Can you tell me what was going on for you in that moment? Mm-hmm. And then now they're able to reflect and it's specific. It's supposed to be like, can you tell me why you're all stressed out? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really helpful.
And not just that, but it's also putting them in this category of like, you're always like this.
Yeah.
And then that puts them directly on the defensive. Whereas if you're like, hey, this one specific moment that lasted maybe an hour yesterday, you were like this. And so maybe you're sitting here thinking like, oh my gosh, no, but mine is truly always stress. Still, come up with a specific incident. Yeah. You don't need to tag them as always being stressed and always being pissed off and always this and always that. They're just going to go on the defensive. Mm-hmm. So be kind. You know, think of them in a very positive way and help them try to come up with solutions for those moments.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in the end, you have to be able to kind of play this double side of holding up boundaries, mm-hmm. right? Internal for yourself. So not to take on emotional baggage all the time, but also to really hold up the bar of your relationship and say, hey, like, we don't yell in our marriage. Mm-hmm. So we made that agreement. And so I'm holding the bar up. You're yelling. Please stop yelling. Mm-hmm. Right. And if they're unable to, you walk away. Hey, I'm mm-hmm. going to walk away. I'll come back in 10 minutes. Hopefully I can hear you more. Because so that's kind of one part that's really important is holding up the boundary. Then the other part is understanding. Mm-hmm. Right. And really looking at your partner, you know, sometimes I get it. We got a lot of baggage, you know, Kate and I have been together over 20 years. And man, sometimes it's like, you know, Kate's super stressed out or I'm super stressed out. And I'm sure both of us, because of the baggage, is like, I just don't want to deal with this shit. You know, like, get away from me. And, but remember, like as your partner, they're like your best friend. Think about them like your friend. If you saw a friend struggling, you'd want to help them. Mm-hmm. If your friend's stressed out all day, you would go ask them, hey, what's up? Like, you don't seem yourself. You seem a little bit more agitated than usual. I'd love to understand what's going on for you, mm-hmm. right? And really hold that space for them. And so really start to think about these two ways that you can start to change the ecosystem of your relationship. Because one of the things that I really want you to remember is that, like, your partner doesn't enjoy being angry all the time. Your partner doesn't enjoy being stressed out. They're not like, oh, I'm so glad that I can hardly sleep and every morning I wake up and think about the same thing that drives me insane. Like, they don't like that. Mm-hmm. And they need help. They can't get out of it. And so you can step in, you can help them. You could start to kind of be a mirror and reflect in a kind, loving way without blaming, but really start to unpack some of the stuff so they can work through it. And if you feel like it's at a really dire place, right, encourage them to reach out for help or work with them to reach out for help. Hey, you know, if you want me to get a few names, I'm happy to kind of put them in front of you.
Yeah, or start with couples therapy. Yeah. Start with going together. You know, I think we have some things to talk about. And, you know, that might be a little less intrusive for them to be like, hey, make an appointment for yourself. It's like, hey, let's talk together. Let's go together to talk to somebody together. And that might be a little less intimidating for them. And then the therapist might suggest, you know, that they go on their own and get their own therapy. So, you know, ideally together that would work, but sometimes they do need extra help on their own, and that's okay. And to not be afraid to get that help.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you get any message from this episode at all, just remember, right? Like, emotions are just emotions. You're feeling just feelings. Don't label them as good mm-hmm. or bad. Don't try to stop people from having totally okay to be angry. There's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with it. But, you know, if you decide to do something that can cause harm or is unkind when you're angry, that's a whole different story. So just remember that, right? These emotions are things that we all experience. So if you see your partner being angry, maybe even reflect back to them like, hey, I know what you feel like. I've also been angry. I was angry last week. You know what I mean? And then just create that commonality between them. All right, everyone. That wraps us up for this week's episode. If you did find value in this episode, leave a review. We always love to hear directly from you. And this really helps us grow our message and really help couples transform their relationships all over the world, because that's really what our legacy is all about. Also, if you are looking for some great resources, in every single show notes in our podcasts, there's some resources there for you to grab. So there's our 4 skills to evolve your relationship. There's also our free Facebook community that you can join just for high achieving men who are focused on learning marriage skills. And finally, if you want to talk to me directly, there's a link there where you can book a breakthrough plan. So you and I can get a quick call to really understand where you're at, where you want to go, and set up a very simple plan to get you started and create some momentum. So all that is in our show notes. Please feel free to jump on those resources and take action. And I'd love a review from you. That always helps us out. Until next time, cheers.